good morning and welcome to the December edition of Black Book Talk. I'm Patricia Welch, the library lady. With me this morning are...
I'm Emma Jackson Ford, bookwoman.
And O.B. Hill, Reflections, Miriam H. Books.
And we're going to give our holiday gift to you today, and our gift will be a recounting or a sharing of our favorite books this year. Maybe ones where we interview the author, may not, but books that you might want to read to enjoy your holiday, or even better, you might want to share with somebody else. Hey, you might do all of your holiday shopping or whatever in the next few minutes. Who wants to go first?
Well, I think one of my favorite books this year was the one by Denora Taylor. Oh, because it was scary, but not too scary. It was about generational curses, and her title was...
Oh, don't...
Okay. It just went out of my mouth.
Because we are women of a certain age, and that's what happens. I know what you mean, because it's only two words. It's like... If by chance, you know, so we're going to have to come back
if
around
by chance?
To that. But that's not it. You know something? We can look it
yes,
up.
Yes, that's why I pulled it
but
up.
But you can still tell us a little about it while we're thinking. That wasn't fair to spring the first one. I'll tell you what, while you're looking that up, I'll share my first because it's sitting right here in front of it and I am crazy about it. My first book of the year just came into my life like about 2 weeks ago. I had seen it. And then I noticed that it won a prize, so I said, well, I'll just read a little bit. I started reading the book. I was sitting around other people. I was laughing out loud. And the book is entitled The Supremes at Earl's All You Can Eat. It is a novel. It is by Edward Kelsey Moore. And I must say that this is a man who writes in the voice of women and does so very, very well. The Supremes are three high school friends who are now in their middle ages. Two married, all three of them married, as a matter of fact. And every Sunday after church, they meet at this restaurant. And, of course, the book tells their stories. But it isn't just a chick kind of story. It is that. I mean, you know, it's the story of these three friends. But I just think that any story that has, as a secondary character, Eleanor Roosevelt, who apparently in the afterlife has a drinking problem. She is seen as is sipping from a silver flask with a White House insignia on it. And her running buddy at this time is an older black woman who, among other things, is great at rolling joints. I mean, these people are like totally unexpected. And even before the black woman's death, and she is the mother of one of the characters. She was always seeing dead people, much to the consternation of her son and daughter. But one morning when the daughter's getting up, because she's having hot flashes, frankly, and she just needs to get up, and she's going downstairs in the kitchen, and she's going to eat some grapes and kind of chill out. And who should come through the door but her mother? And they're having this conversation, and she's saying what her mother is wearing. And it's only at the very end of the chapter that she says, and I'm so glad she wore that dress because the last time I saw it was at her funeral. And this is a surprise, and the book is full of these kinds of surprises. It's a group of women and their friends. They are in Indiana, and it's sort of a year in their life. I'm not even going to tell you more, except it's a book of surprises. There is laughter and joy and pathos, and... it is just a great book for the holidays, especially if you just want to laugh out loud, but also think about your life. Again, The Supremes at Earl's All You Can Eat by Edward Kelsey Moore.
Well, it's kind of hard for me to pick up a book, or I look at things basically in categories, and not books in particular, but I've got to give thanks to two publications that weekly I pick up at the newsstand, and that is the Portland Observer and the Scanner newspaper. And respectively, both of them, one was established in 1970 and the other one in 1975. So for those families, the Washingtons, and the Fosters, who have so generously shared over the years and decades, these two newspapers, especially in a small market like this, we are very, very fortunate. So I just want to say thank you very much, books notwithstanding.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I was thinking that, you know, we need to be sharing what's happening this month. And my immediate thought is always to go to the Observer and to go to the Scanner, because they're going to have information about programs and gatherings that a lot of other publications just aren't. So, yeah, it's wonderful to just have this information available to us.
They also have a book review.
Yes, they do. Emma, do you want to talk about another book?
My other favorite book this year was Maya Angelou's book, My Mother, Myself.
Mom and Me and Mom. I only know that because that's one of my favorite. That's on my list too. It's the sunshine. We shouldn't be having this much sunshine at this point in December. It's getting confused.
I am totally loving the sunshine. But I love the book because it was the story of her mother, whom I'd always wondered about. I had, you know, she had written about her mother before, but I wondered what her mother was really like because I knew that she was raised by her grandmother. So to find out that her mother was in the service, her mother worked for the post office, her mother did all these wonderful things, but also had a hand in so many people's lives. I had thought of her grandmother as being her mother, so to have her write a book about her mother was kind of a surprise. And then for her to be really candid about her mother, I love the little vignettes, the stories she told about her mother in the book, and about her mother's family. Like, her mother had three brothers, I believe, and the dad had taught them all to be very tough. If they would come home and they would tell a story about walking away from a fight or that they just hit the person and left, the dad would be very disappointed because he thought that they should knock them down and make it so they couldn't get up very easily.
That's right.
And so the mom had grown up being tough, too. So I love that book, and I could read it again.
Yeah, there's some point in there where the mother said something about the fact that she was raised with principles. I'm not sure if that was the exact word, but she was kind of like saying, I have raised you with principles. And you need to use these to guide your life. And when you go out into the world, do not let people make you abandon your principles. You know, remember who you are. And I thought, you know, that's the kind of old-time wisdom that a lot of us got and unfortunately doesn't seem to be transmitted now. But, yeah, it was a good book for that.
And even the advice that her mother gave her about how to get the job she wanted, she told her to go back and sit there in that chair so the secretary could see her, so the boss could see her every time he went in and out until they hired her. And she did. And the only reason she really wanted the job was because she loved the little uniform they wore.
Is it a shameless plug to tell people that we interviewed Dr. Angelou? And if you want to know more, that you should go to the Black Book Talk archives and put in Maya Angelou. Maybe it's a shameless plug, but what the heck, it's the holiday season. We want to be good to us, too.
Yes.
Okay.
Let me say that one of the books that I enjoy this year, and it just came out recently, it's a history book, Ebony and Ivy, Race, Slavery, and the Troubled History of America's Universities by Craig Stephen Wyler. And he's a leading African-American historian, and he exposes the uncomfortable truths about race, slavery, and the American Academy, the Ivy Leagues, revealing the leading universities, the dependence on human bondage because of the breeding grounds for the racist ideas that sustained it. And this is a very interesting book. I went all around and finally I found a display copy at a major bookstore that I won't mention here, the largest bookstore in the United States, and if not the world. But this book is very good, and I think everybody should look at reading it.
It is. Now, haven't some of the universities engaged in reparations now? And I think that this book kind of outlines what the basis is for them to agree to reparations.
Exactly. And it's really ironic because the reparations movement that was really about 8-10 years ago, really peaking in the United States, is no longer out there. So that this book comes out and sort of rattles our mind now that, hey, those payments weren't made.
I still don't know the name of DeNorge's book, but a book I could read.
If by chance.
Is it If by Chance?
I think it's three words. It's If by Chance. But, and the main important thing is it's by DeNorge
Taylor.
Price. Yeah, Taylor Price.
A book I could read any year is Their Eyes Were Watching God. And if I'm talking to a teacher friend, a high school teacher friend, and their students are reading it, or they're rereading it, I always go back and get it out again because it's such an interesting book. It was written in 1937 by Zora Neale Hurston, and I can't imagine that that book was around until I finally found it sometime in the 70s, and I had not seen it or heard of it because it is so delightful. I laugh and laugh every time I read the book, and I get sad and do a lot of thinking because it is one of those books about a wondrous woman who really lives her life. It's the story of, and my age is telling again because I can't even think of the little girl's name. What is her name? It's a long, slim name. It's a name for anyway, it's the story of a little girl who was being raised by her grandmother. And her grandmother has in mind for her to marry a nice man with money who lives there in the town. But she's not real keen on him. But her grandmother makes her marry him anyway. She gets married, and she's not very happy. And one day, by chance, she meets a young man out on the road. And she likes him, and she just leaves with him. She takes up with him and has a great life. He becomes the mayor of the town where they move, and she becomes the woman on the hill, sort of. She has all the beautiful dresses and as much money as she wants. But she's out playing checkers on the porch of the local store and hanging out with the men. And then her husband dies. And she moves away to Florida. It's a great book. If you happen to see it, it's worth the read.
Okay. You know, we don't do a lot with, I do not do a lot with urban fiction. I don't feel that we've really interviewed a lot of authors in from that genre. I don't think we've talked about them, though I have to admit, I do kind of also feel that a lot of what's coming out now in urban fiction is kind of like Harlequin novels for those of you who might read them, you know, kind of Harlequin novels in bronze with maybe more explicit sex or violence or something. But there is one author that I really do respect and I enjoy her work, and that's Sister Soldier. I think it's because when I read The Coldest Winter Ever, I thought it was going to be predictable. I thought it was one of those, after paragraph two, we know where this is going and we know how it will end books, but it wasn't. Her ending was totally surprising. The Coldest Winter Ever was about the Santiago family. Ricky Santiago was, quite frankly, a big drug dealer. I think his earlier life was the definition of ghetto fabulous. He and his family started out in the projects, and they sort of knocked out a wall and had this incredible home in the projects. And then eventually, he does what everybody does. You know, you try to do better. He moves them out, I think, to Long Island. And, you know, he wants to change his life. And unfortunately, things happen. That's book one. I won't tell you anymore because I don't like to do spoiling. I will simply say that in book two, we come back with the middle child, Porsche Santiago. I love that her name is Porsche. Or perhaps the car's name is really pronounced Porsche. But I think it's just Porsche here. I guess I'm going to have to tell you something. Porsche is an abandoned child. Her father, unfortunately, is dragged off to jail. She doesn't know what has happened to her mother or to her older sister, who was the main character in the first book, or her little sisters. So she's in jail. She's like, you know, 9 years old. But this is a tough little mommy. I mean, you have to do what you have to do. And this is a child who shows who shows the trials and the damage that can be done to children who are incarcerated, but how a determined spirit can get you through. There are all kinds of plot twists, all kinds of interesting people, all kinds of young women who decide that even in jail, they're going to define their life. It is a good read. It is especially a good read for a cold day. So, okay, this is A Deeper Love Inside, the Porsche Santiago story by Sister Soulja. And just came out this year, so if you go to the library, it may still be on hold, or you can simply buy it, but it's a good book, and I recommend it.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at the stones now for our news, newspaper. Let's just say our games are over, and thank you very, very much. I'd like to talk about David Joker's appeal to the colored citizens of the United States, but in particular and a very expressly to those of the United States of America. And what we're talking about is four of the colored preachers of the world, but in particular and very expressively to those of the United States, third and dark established, revealed the published day in 1830. And this book is really interesting. If you want to see it together, just think about it. David Walker's Appeal. David Walker's Appeal of Understanding African-Centered Discourses that Attacks Little Injuries and Advocates Black Self-Reliance. Great book. Enjoy it.
All right. The title really is If by Chance. It's by Denorja Taylor Price. It's about a small community in the Pacific Northwest that's affected by all kinds of tragedies because of a generational curse. And she defines a generational curse as being something like alcoholism traveling from one generation to the other, and no matter what the person grows up to do with their life, they're still affected by that one thing that seems to affect their whole family. So the main character, Brian Jr., in the story, finds out that he is the key to unlocking this mystery and solving the generational curse to get rid of it so that the community can be normal and whole again, whatever normal and whole means. It's a great book. Denorja Taylor weaves a great tale. So again, that's If by Chance by Denorja Taylor Price.
Well, I just want to say that Easy is back. Any of you who have enjoyed Walter Mosley's Easy Rollins series will be happy to know that actually Easy escaped death, which we thought was the final outcome of the last book, but Easy had a tumble and a fall in a car accident, but he comes back strong this year in Little Green by Walter Mosley. Anybody who's followed the series knows that essentially these books start, I think maybe in the 40s, and they kind of follow this character up, you know, like a decade, a half a decade or so. So now, Easy is in, he's in L.A., he's in the 60s, he's meeting hippies, you know, all the flower children are there, but he's also trying to find out what has happened to this young man who disappears. And then we find out that somehow this nice young man is tangled up in drug. He's not dealing drugs. He's found some drugs. People are after him because they think he has the drugs. And in order to try to find Evander Little Green Noon, who kind of life went kind of bonkers for him after his first, and I'm sure worst, acid trip. So EC's trying to find him, trying to protect him from the other people who are after Little Green. easy, of course, in the just the purpose of his life seems to be at the wrong place at the wrong time sometimes, and try to keep himself out of trouble. But the cast of characters that he meets will include, you know, his children and his family from all the other books and some new folks that you're going to love. But if you are a Walter Mosley fan, and you were, so, more importantly, if you are an E.Z. Rollins fan and you were kind of despondent after Blonde Faith, take heart. E.Z.'s back in Little Green by Walter Mosley.
Let me say this. The Barack Obama speech on race is one of my favorites. It's an older book, but in terms of what's happening with him now as it relates to the problems with food and drugs and what have you, this book is something to look at. He calls it, his speech on race, a more perfect union. And it's very interesting to read this, and I hope that people will keep this in mind when they're listening to what's going on the news. It was written in 2008, and it's really a very, very interesting book.
Okay. Well, another genre that I don't think we talk about a lot, but we certainly should, is erotica, because that could be a really great holiday gift for somebody. And someone came into the library recently and said, Zane's not writing anymore, is she? Now, I hope that you all know that Zane is everybody's erotica-writing soccer mom. A lot of people didn't know who Zane was. They thought she was a man. They thought whatever, whatever. And then finally, her picture was featured in Essence magazine. And she's just like a nice little plump-cheeked soccer mom who lives in the suburbs of Maryland and writes some of the hottest stuff you want to read. But not only is Zane continuing to write her works, but she is also presenting other authors. And she's a publisher now. Her publishing company is called Strebor, S-T-R-E-B-O-R Books. So if you see that, you'll know that's Zane. And I like the fact that she's someone who did well and has now opened the doors for other people. Her latest work is Zane Presents the EroticNoir.com Anthology, Busybodies Chocolate Flavor 4. Flavor spelled F-L-A-V-A. One book, 26 stories, infinite pleasure. That's not my word. That's on the front of the book. But Zane has 25 other authors writing short stories in every aspect of erotica, and she even includes a story of her own. I won't be reading any passages from this over the air because we do not want to burn up the microphone and blow out the equipment, but if you're looking for something to cuddle with your honey, I would recommend Zane Presents the EroticNoir.com Anthology, Busybodies, Chocolate Flavor Number 4.
Well, we'll cool things off a little bit. The Coretta Scott King Award this year went to Hand in Hand. It's Hand in Hand, 10 Black Men Who Changed America. It's still in hardcover. Hand in Hand is a book of 10 African-American men who start in the days of slavery with Benjamin Banneker, coming up to Frederick Douglass, then Booker T. Washington, W.E.B. Du Bois, Thurgood Marshall, A. Philip Randolph, Jackie Robinson, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., and ending with Barack H. Obama. This book gives a profile of each of these people in history, telling what their contribution was. It is beautifully illustrated, as always, when something gets the Coretta Scott King Award, and it is very good reading, interesting reading, will be a great gift for a late elementary or a high school student.
Well, I mean, there's so much to do in terms of this season, and we're very, very fortunate that with Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up, Kwanzaa, and so that's what I want to focus on. Here lately, been hearing a lot about Black Friday. I said, Black Friday, is it anything that we as a people can do for a Black Friday this year? So I thought about Kwanzaa celebration, and I said, okay, on the 27th of this month, we could have our own Black Friday and try to give gifts by making it an effort to shop at Black stores. So if anybody's willing to do that, just think about that weekend of the 27th and 28th and make that Black Friday shopping.
Okay, and a part of the Kwanzaa experience is just sharing gifts, not this, you know, rabid running out and trying to spend every dollar that you have, but just sharing meaningful gifts. I do want to say that I'm sure that, once again, the opening event, the Umoja event for Kwanzaa will be at the Matt Dishman Recreation Center on December 26th, which is the first day of Kwanzaa. And then on Saturday, the 28th, from 12 to 2, there will be a Kwanzaa celebration at the North Portland Library. So we hope that folks will come to both of those events. And I'm sure other events will be advertised and that, you know, we can all support them. I'll just support all of them because there's going to be a lot happening during that week. I want to mention one more book that was a favorite of mine this year. And again, we were happy to be able to interview the author. The book is called African Americans of Portland, and the author is Kimberly Stowers Moreland, who was working for the representing the Oregon Black Pioneers. Someone came up to me recently and said, I want to show you this book. I want you to see my mother. Her mother was one of the, I think she's like the first WAC Women's Army Corps person in the state of Oregon. And she was just so proud to show her mother. And I thought, this is just one of many people who can look at this book and recognize family members and friends and relive important but little known and little discussed events in the life of Portland's African-American community. So I was just so pleased that we were able to share this book. And again, it's called African-Americans of Portland, Kimberly Stowers Moreland and the Oregon Black Pioneers. It came out this year. The publisher is Arcadia Publishing. And I know that it's available in bookstores because I've seen it there. It's also available in libraries. So please support this effort. Please support this writer and this organization because there still isn't enough information. There still isn't enough documentation of the story of African Americans, not only in Portland, but in the state. So this is another bit of information that we all need. And again, a wonderful story to share. It's a factual book, but just our story is always a wonderful story to share during the holiday period.
My last book, Great Gift for a Middle School Student. It's written by Andrea Davis Pinkney, the wife of the wonderful writer Brian Pinkney. She has won Coretta Scott King Award before and other awards. Her new book this year is Bird in a Box. It's about Otis, Willie, and Hibernia. They're three children who have each lost a loved one, and they have a secret dream that they won't stop fighting for what they want, and they join forces. They have Joe Louis for their the famed boxer Joe Louis for their idol. And it's just a book, a chunk out of their lives. It's a moving novel. It is about friendship. It's about family. It's about love and about how children can triumph over tragedy. It is called Bird in a Box. It is by Andrea Davis Pinkney. It's published by Little Brown Books.
And now we must say goodbye, and whatever holiday you're celebrating, if you're just celebrating yourself, have a happy holiday. Enjoy this season.
Enjoyed talking to you today, and look forward to seeing you next year.
See you in 2014.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor a salsa dance party to celebrate 17 years of the Community Alliance of Tenants, the only statewide grassroots tenants rights organization. December 6th, from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m., this party will include a light dinner buffet, short program, and salsa lesson. It will take place at the Grand Cafe at 832 Southeast Grand Avenue in Portland, Oregon. Again, that's the Community Alliance of Tenants Salsa Party, December 6th, from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Grand Cafe. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO is proud to present one of the greatest jazz films ever made, Round Midnight. Join us Thursday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater for this 1986 American-French film that captured the Paris jazz scene of the 1950s. Watch jazz legend Dexter Gordon deliver an Oscar-nominated performance. Round Midnight, the Clinton Street Theater, Thursday, December 12th at 7 p.m.